Good morning, everybody. I'm here at the fabulous Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and PackersNews.com studios to bring you another version of the Packers podcast. This is Friday, October 26th, and the Green Bay Packers are getting ready to play the Los Angeles Rams at the LA Coliseum. Their first game at the Coliseum since 1990, and I'm sad enough to say that I was actually covering that game. That's how old I am. It was it was one of Bo Jackson's last games with the Raiders. Pretty interesting game. Good Packers won, part of their follow-up to that 10-6 season in 1989. But I digress. You may have noticed the new music at the beginning. Hope you enjoyed that. I am actually solo today because of some travel issues that we had between myself and Jim Osarski. So you'll have to put up with me in this segment. You know, it's just one of those things you have to bear sometimes. Before we get started, I wanted to give a plug to our sponsor, new sponsor, Pottawatomie Casino. Get on island time to win a Caribbean cruise at Pottawatomie Thursdays in October and November. You could find out more at paysbig.com/islandtime. Give it a look. You'll enjoy it. And you're going to enjoy this, I hope. Segment of the Packers podcast, because I'm going to kind of go through some things to look at in this game, things that I think will have major considerations in the outcome. So let's take a look at a couple of those. This is, of course, a difficult game for the Packers. They're going up against an undefeated team, 7-0. It's coming off a fairly easy victory over the San Francisco 49ers. The Packers, on the other hand, are coming off a bye. It's probably came at a pretty good time. They got healthy. Just about everybody is healthy. In fact, everyone practiced on Thursday. That was Wednesday, including quarterback Aaron Rodgers and Geronimo Allison, Randall Cobb, Jair Alexander, Bashaud Breeland. You can go down up and down the list. Everybody practiced, and I think everybody will be eligible or will be healthy enough to play, which means that Mike McCarthy has to make some decisions on who his top 46 will be. But that's not a bad thing. We'll also see whether quarterback Aaron Rodgers decides to go without his brace. The Packers changed their schedule this week. They went, because it's a West Coast game and they've got this brutal travel schedule with the Rams this week, then they go to New England the next week, then they're home against Miami, and then they're at Minnesota and at Seattle. So that's a pretty brutal stretch. So he had them, instead of practicing on the normal days, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, he had them practice Tuesday and Wednesday. They had their normal recovery day on Thursday, and Friday they're flying out to LA, and then they will practice in LA on Saturday. So a little bit of a change up there. In terms of the game, you know, Packers are 8.5-point underdogs, and I believe that's the highest point spread quarterback Aaron Rodgers has ever faced. And he's the type of guy who uses that kind of thing to fuel himself. He's also coming back to a place, the LA Coliseum, where he nearly pulled off, he and the California Golden Bears nearly pulled off a massive upset against the number one ranked USC Trojans back in, I believe it was 2004 that they played there. And Rodgers had the offense driven, down about the 15-yard line. They had one play left. He had his guy a post route in the end zone, was going to be an easy touchdown. The receiver slipped and fell, and they lost. He completed the first 23 passes in that game, and I think at one point he told me this. He was 29 of 31 for some massive amount of yards. It should be he's had some good luck in that stadium, so we'll see how it goes on Sunday. First thing I want to address was the Packers have had some success coming out of the bye under Mike McCarthy. They're 9-3, and they've won 7 of their last 9 coming out of the bye. Now, they've had a couple of really bad beats coming out of the bye. One of those, you'll remember last year, they lost to Detroit at home, got their butts kicked. And then I think it was 2015, they went on the road and just got slaughtered by Denver. Rodgers got sacked about 27 times, and it was really a pretty devastating loss at the time. They've had some big wins coming out of that. One of the ones I remember the most was McCarthy's first year. They were 1-4, and they went down to Miami after the bye. And Charles Woodson had a huge interception. He returned for a touchdown, and they wound up winning that game. And it kind of turned their season around. I mean, they finished 8-8, 8-8 or 9-7. I already am forgetting. It was 8-8, yeah. And so that was a big one. They also won at Minnesota in 2010, just crushed the Vikings coming out of a bye. I think they were 5-3 coming out of that bye and just destroyed Minnesota. So what McCarthy and his staff did during the bye was he had each of the coaches evaluate the other side of the ball. So the players on the other side of the ball. So the secondary coaches evaluated the wide receivers, and the linebackers coaches evaluated the running backs, and the defensive line evaluated offensive line, and vice versa. The idea was to do sort of a self-scout and explain to the players how, if you were an opposing team, how you would attack them. And they were supposed to be honest about it. And a lot of players said they got something out of that. Whether that makes a difference, I don't know. But I do think the return of Allison and Cobb gives McCarthy and his staff a little more time to come up with a more imaginative game plan. So we'll see how that goes. Again, I've written about it umpteen times, and I can't write about it and talk about it much more, but they've got to run the ball. They've got to get the ball to Aaron Jones. Nothing more needs to be said about that. They just have to do it. So we'll see whether McCarthy's up for that. Another thing to watch for is the slow starts on defense. It's really been a head scratcher because they've just been terrible in the first half, and it happened again against San Francisco. Kyle Shanahan, to me, it looked like he out-schemed the Packers and Mike Pettine. And I think that's a possibility again this week because they're facing a guy who runs a similar type offense who can throw all kinds of wrinkles at them. Now, the positive part for the Packers is that they just faced this offense. It's very similar. So there's some things that they'll be used to, but they really have to get out to a better start. Looking at the statistics, they ranked 29th in the NFL in average points allowed in the first half, 16.7 points allowed in the first half. On the flip side, they're only averaging 7.3 points allowed in the second half. And that ranks second in the NFL. So they've had really good second halves, but those first halves have just killed them. And overall, they rank, as you would expect, in the middle, 15th in points allowed at 24.0. Patton claimed he did some research on it, had his staff work on it. They've been working on it to try to figure out why they had some slow starts. He said he thinks he has a good sense of why that's happened. He didn't share why. But if they're going to have any chance against the Rams, they got to get some stops early, and they got to score early. The offense can't have a couple of three and outs or turnovers or anything like that. They've got to get on the Rams. Rams haven't had to play from behind much, and that would be something that would be completely different for them. So whether they can do that, I don't know, but they will have pretty much their full complement of defensive backs and defensive players. And I'm really curious to see if Petten is willing to risk going man to man and bringing some heat on Goff. Not a lot of teams will do that because if you go man to man, he's going to go with all these short bunch formations, and it's really hard to play man to man in a bunch formation because one guy's setting a pick and the other guy's just running a quick, easy route that they can hit all day long. You have to play it really well. But I also think that bringing someone up in the box and bringing some heat is one way they can attack Todd Gurley, the leading rusher in the NFL, and some of that play action stuff. I mean, if they can get to Goff early enough, they can cause some disruption. You know, on the back end, they've got some corners who can play bump and run and can disrupt some things with Alexander, with Tremont Williams, with Kevin King, with Josh Jackson. Bashaud Breeland should be available this week. This is a week he's got to get really creative, and he's got to get his guys in position to make some plays and to put some heat on Goff. So that's going to be on Patton, and we'll see how that goes. As for the offense, the Rams offense, one thing to watch, if you're really into football, watch how they execute fakes. I wrote a story on that today about their play action, and it's pretty fascinating how extensive they are with their play action. And this is something that McCarthy desperately wants to do. He has had to hold back on his play action plan because Rodgers got hurt and had to play out of the pistol mostly, couldn't really run. The last game against the 49ers, he really opened up the play action game, and it worked pretty well. Early on, they hit that 60-yarder to Scantling, that was a bootleg. They hit the 54-yarder to Graham, another bootleg. They ran a lot of play action, and Rodgers was successful. Excuse me, 49ers eventually adjusted, and the thing I thought McCarthy didn't do was when the 49ers adjusted to go to a running game. I mean, what if they're adjusting to stop that bootleg by holding the backside end in place, then you got to run it away from them. And I think they lost track of doing that and did not take full advantage of what they had accomplished with the play action. Now, the Rams are going to play action all day long because Todd Gurley is one of the most explosive players in the league. I think he's got some huge number of rushes over 20 yards, 7 or 8, or it's a lot. And so what you're going to see from them too is just this abundance of motion from the wide receivers. You'll see Robert Woods come across the formation. They'll snap the ball, fake a handoff to him, maybe give it to Gurley, maybe throw it. They'll bring Woods across again, same formation, same everything, and this time give him the ball. The next time they might have Woods come across, he'll look like he's going to go all the way across the formation. He'll stop, go back out, and they'll throw him a screen or flare pass out into the right. Another time they might One time I saw they lined up Gurley in the slot, and they ran Gurley across the formation, and they threw a shovel pass to him. So there's all kinds of these little wrinkles that they'll throw. And what the Packers have to do, and what they've talked about all week, is eye discipline. Don't let the motion take you away from what your assignment is. If the motion is your assignment, then stick with it. But if it's not, don't try to read into what that motion is, because a lot of times it's what they call ghost motion, which means it doesn't mean anything. It's just to distract you. And they're going to have a real challenge, especially with some of those young guys, young players in the secondary. You know, the guys like Oren Burks, they have to be really disciplined. Blake Martinez is going to really have to be disciplined. And Matthews can't get out of his, you know, can't lose his contain. Same with Nick Perry. They can't be chasing things. So we'll see how that goes. One thing that was interesting, I thought, was Seattle played a bear defense against them. And what a bear defense is it's when you use three of your linemen to cover up the guard and the center. And then you use your two outside linebackers to cover the two tackles. So you basically have every offensive lineman covered. And what that does is it keeps the offensive lineman from coming off the ball and getting to your linebackers, to doubling a guy. And then what they want to do is come to the second level and knock off the linebacker. And when you've got those guys covered, it's much harder for them to do that. And Seattle had some success, but again, they made some mistakes. They overreacted to some of the motion. They gave up a couple of big plays. You know, it was a close game, but they gave up 33 points. I think Pettine will do that, but I don't think he'll do it on an every down basis. The Packers have played the bare front a little bit. They have that package. I'm interested to see how often he does it. Going to the Packers offense, you know, again, we talked about play action. I think that will be a part, but, you know, they got to get Aaron Jones involved. They got to get Jamal Williams working the inside. Ty Montgomery, I think they can use all three of those backs. I really do. I think Aaron Jones has to see the bulk of the carries, but I'm not against them playing those other two guys. It's just that when Jones gets on a little bit of a roll, they got to milk that, and they got to make the defense come up and defend it. I think every defensive coordinator in the NFL is worried about Aaron Jones. I think they see the talent he has, and he might not be assignment sure on some of his runs, on some of his pass blocks, but you got to find a way to get him the ball. That's just the bottom line. And if that isn't a priority or hasn't been a priority during the bye week, then they're making a huge mistake. I think you will see some more success passing the ball with Allison back and Cobb back. The Rams will are without Aleib, because Talib because he's on injured reserve. Marcus Peters, their other corner, has been a little bit beat up. There's not a ton of depth there. Sam Shields is one of their nickel backs, and they will use him quite a bit. He'll be matched up against some of these guys. So I think there's some yards to be made in that secondary. But, of course, the number one thing they have to worry about is blocking Aaron Donald, the all-pro, probably the best defensive player in the NFL at defensive tackle. Donald is just a disruptive player. He had four sacks against San Francisco last week. He's got eight for the season. And he really hasn't even gotten going. He missed all of training camp. And he's probably just now starting to feel like himself. And then you got Ndamukong Suh there, who running the ball against him is difficult. So, you know, on the one hand, you want to spread them out and you want to get them on the move, but Donald can penetrate that and just destroy it. if you try to run right at Donald, you got Sue there as well, and he's going to close up some holes. So I'm not sure how they'll run, but they've got to figure out a way to do it, and they're going to have to double team Donald constantly. They just don't even screw around. You've got to double team him all the time. As far as the rest of their defense, look out for Corey Littleton. That guy has been an inside linebacker. He's just been dynamite of late. Ton of tackles, had a couple, a sack and a half, I think, last week. And then watch him on special teams. This guy has four block kicks in the last year and a half. He's had two block punts this year, and he got his hand deflected another punt this year. So he's just dominant, and teams have not really figured out how to block him. Seattle made a big mistake and allowed him to block a punt, but that's a guy you got to keep your eye on. And their two returners are really good too. Ferrell Cooper is their Pro Bowl returner, but he's on injured reserve, so they just go to two other guys, JoJo Natson and Blake Countess. And Natson's the punt returner. He averages 17.2, which is phenomenal. And then Countess averages 25.7 on kickoff returns. So they're really good in that area. As for the Coliseum, it's kind of an interesting stadium. I don't know if there's any sightline problems because they have the track that goes all the way around the field, and the distance from the stands to the field is kind of spread out. But one thing that we'll look at is whether there's a significant number of Packers fans there. California. Typically, there are. I mean, there's a lot of transplants in California. I don't know whether Rams people have been selling their tickets or what, but I do anticipate a fairly large contingent there. And so we'll see if that has an impact. The heat, it's supposed to be around 84, but it's a dry heat. I mean, I really doubt that that's going to be a factor. It could be if one of the sides has to play, a ton of snaps, but I'm not really sure that that's going to be the case. So I don't think it'll be a big factor. It's not like they're playing at Miami. So there you go. I hope that gives you a pretty good preview of what to expect on Sunday. We will have all the coverage from there. Don't forget the live blog. I know it's been almost 2 weeks since we've had one, and people are probably jonesing bad for one. So it'll be back. Game time 3:25 out here, 1:25 out there. Be sure you check out all our coverage, and also don't forget Thursdays at Pottawatomie, you can win a Caribbean cruise during the Island Time giveaway, during October and November. Just go to paysbig.com/islandtime. You'll be able to get on that list and win a Caribbean cruise. I think I'm going to get on there too because I need a cruise in the worst way. I won't be able to take it for a little while, but I can dream. So I think that's about it. And next time, Jim will be back with me after the game. We're taking the red eye back from LA. That's going to be fun. We leave at midnight LA time, 2 o'clock Milwaukee time. So wish us luck. Anyway, from there, I'll get the music started and say, see you next time.